Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Ken Crozen is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Ken's an old friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He is an intellectual property attorney extraordinaire, a partner with the law firm Foley and Lardner out of the great city of Washington, D.C. in the great District of Columbia. And he is our good friend Ken Crozen. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Doing great. It's good to have you back. Happy New Year.
Same to you.
Hey, Ken, I want to talk in a minute. I want to talk about intellectual property in a recession, in a tough economic time. But before we get into that, I was going to ask you if you have anything new on the IP front, anything to do with intellectual property, anything new in terms of laws or regulations, anything you're seeing out there that we need to be paying attention to. What's the news?
Well, I think the biggest news is the change of administration. John Dudas, the commissioner of patents, handed in his resignation a couple of days ago, and so we're going to be getting a new commissioner of patents.
Let me ask you a question, Ken. Hold on. Is that an appointed position or is that a career position?
No, that's an appointed position.
Okay. So, folks, if you don't know it, in Washington, there are two kinds of people who work for the government. They're the political appointees that literally work at the pleasure of the president, whoever that is. And then there are the career people who are there all the time, and they don't come and go as the administrations change. So this is a guy who's going to lose his job anyway soon, right?
Right, and well, he's the current fellow Dudas just handed his resignation, so he'll be gone, and then Obama will have to step up and appoint someone new. Now he's got. It's interesting that Obama has an intellectual property brain trust, as did John McCain, and there have been during the election process there was a. A number of debates between the opposing IP forces in the McCain camp and the Obama camp, and now that Obama is in, he'll rely heavily, I'm sure, on his brain trust, IP brain trust, to help him come up with some qualified names for this spot.
What do you think about Obama's IP brain trust? Do you consider them to be people who are market friendly, or are they more protectionist? What do you think?
Well, they're certainly very IP savvy, and I have always
any names
people...
we would know.
Well, let's see. Nobody that comes to mind, but
okay.
They are people who, let me put it this way, anybody who is IP savvy, in my view, is market friendly, because these are folks that recognize that IP is kind of a cornerstone to our market economy.
Right.
And so I think that they, and I apologize for not recalling who's on that brain trust, but they are going to help guide him in, I think, a good selection for the new commissioner.
Well, you know, and as I hear the president-elect talking about the green jobs and the way he wants to encourage the growth of our economy, all of that is just laden with IP. I mean, you can't this green technology, all the new technology that he's talking about, that's all new stuff, which means that it's brand new IP, right?
That's correct. The thing that I fear, Jim, is that IP really comes from research budgets of companies and individual
universities,
universities and so forth, mm-hmm. and it's discretionary spending, and if companies are struggling to make their payrolls, I think it's almost inevitable that R&D spending is going to go
right.
down. And when R&D spending goes down, that means that patent applications go down, intellectual property goes down as well. So I think that you know, we need to be very careful in the recession that we're now in to make sure that we do as much as we can to avoid that happening.
Right. Well, of course, when we say IP, folks, intellectual property, we're talking about patents and trademarks and trade secrets, maybe that aren't registered, things that you know how to do, that you keep a secret, you keep it within your organization. Patents, copyrights, trademarks, what else have I missed?
Well, I think you've got them all, Jim. There's really the four: patents, trademarks, copyrights, and trade secrets. Those are the pretty much the penumbra, the panoply of intellectual property rights.
So, one of the things that I've been concerned about, Ken, is one of my predictions for 2009 is that startups are not going to have as good a year this year because so much of startup capital comes from personal credit, and some inventor decides that he wants to, you know, create something, and he goes and borrows the money for the prototype or whatever, and as personal credit is limited this year, more than ever before in my lifetime, it makes me concerned. You know, based on what you were saying about companies, you know, it's not just companies making payroll. I think it's individuals that may have thought about creating the next new, you know, whatever. So you're saying that you're concerned that 2009 could be a tough year for innovation.
Absolutely. Although you know, people always come up with new ideas, but you've got to have some funding behind it to really take the concept and get it into the marketplace. And as you know, Jim, it takes time to do that. And if you don't have the seed money to begin with, then it's very tough. So I'm not optimistic, but you know, maybe we'll be surprised.
Well, do you have any kind of a perspective on the inclination of venture capitalists to step up and help out in that area?
I don't. You know, the venture capitalists, my understanding, and I'm not in this area, but my understanding is that you know, they have to raise money too. To support their investments, and you know, they're in a betting game. You know, I've talked to a number of them over the years, and the way they look at things is, you know, they'll make 10 investments and hope that one or two turn out
right.
to be great.
Right. They hope they make 10 investments. They hope one gets their money back, and the second one is the home run. Hold on to that thought, Ken Crozen. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We got a lot more to come after these messages. Stay with us. Only you. We're back at 23 after the hour. I'm trying to do the math here, folks, and it's not working out. I need to stick to 1 + 1, right? 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. You know, if I didn't laugh at myself, I'd miss some of the best laughs of my life. Ken Crozen doesn't know anything about that because he never makes mistakes. He's perfect. He's with us. He's our good friend, attorney, and partner at Foley & Lardner, an intellectual property attorney. Right, Ken? You never make any mistakes, do you?
Well, that's not what my wife says, but...
What's your website there at your law firm, Ken?
www.foley.com.
Foley.com. So check it out, folks. And they can find you there just by looking at up your name on the list there, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. And my own website, folks, is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out and check out my blog, check out my knowledge base, check out my newsletter, and all the other things, the articles, the archives, the Brain Trust members. Ken and I are talking about intellectual property in 2009. And Ken, our conversation thus far is kind of dour for intellectual property. What do you think about this recession? Is for small businesses, you know, I'm encouraging them. I always encourage them to focus on their intellectual property and to defend it, to develop it, and to leverage it. But as we were talking earlier, if you're trying to make payroll, it's kind of hard to focus on intellectual property, isn't it?
Uh, correct. Now, one thing that has been sort of an urban legend over the years is that even though the R&D spending might go down, the enforcement of intellectual property rights tends to increase during recessions. And the explanation that I've heard over the years is that people want to defend their turf, and they're willing to spend money to do that. So it's like, you know, the piece of the pie gets, or the pie gets smaller, and you want to defend your share of it, so you're willing to spend a little bit of money to make sure that you enforce your intellectual property rights. It'll be interesting to see whether that holds true during this period.
Well, that, you know, it's interesting that you just said that, because I was just about to ask you, is this a time, I was thinking of it from the other aspect, though, is this a time when people think that they can run roughshod over your property? They think they can steal your stuff because they think you may not defend it as much. I wonder if maybe the reason why you're saying there's more defending of IP is because there's more stealing of IP in a time like this.
I'm not aware of any data on that, Jim, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case, and that may also, like you say, contribute to the increased enforcement of intellectual property rights. You know, people are just they're hungry; they've got to do something, and so they see somebody else's good idea, they're going to take it because they think that that's going to keep them alive.
Right. Well, you know, one of the you can't talk about intellectual property in the 21st century without talking about the global impact of IP. And the need to defend yourself in a lot of different places, and I wonder if the global recession, which we seem to have now, is putting extra pressure on that. Like, for example, we're going to have our China expert Ted Fishman on the second half of the hour, and I'm going to ask him if he thinks China has been more likely to steal our stuff now than they would have been before. What do you think?
Well, that's a very interesting question. I'll be interested to hear what his response is. I was over in China leading a delegation of intellectual property attorneys from the American Intellectual Property Bar Association in this past June, and the sense that I got was then that China has come along. They've been making significant efforts to try to increase their enforcement of intellectual property rights. And I know we talked about this on one of your earlier shows. And so I was encouraged. We met with judges and business people and IP attorneys and so on. And the sense that I got was that they really are making an effort. Now, that was really before things started going south. So it'll be interesting to see what Ted has to say about this, and if he thinks that it's going to be a problem going forward.
Right, absolutely, and we will talk about that. But a lot of small business owners might be thinking, what's that got to do with me? Well, folks, more and more of our economy is based on intellectual property. And if your customers, I have customers that are big customers, or customers who are customers of big customers, and we all do. And if they're not able to defend their own IP, if it becomes a lot more of a frontier out there with regard to intellectual property, basically we're allowing our national assets to be stolen, aren't we, Ken?
That's right. You know, I was thinking the other day, the automobile industry in the U.S., as everybody knows, is in such bad shape. But it's interesting that the automobile companies, the OEMs, really have never enforced their intellectual property rights against one another. It's been sort of an unspoken peace. And mm-hmm. I'm wondering if now that they're going to be fighting for this smaller piece of the pie, they might be going after each other. It'll be interesting.
You know, I hadn't thought about that. I hadn't thought about that. You never do hear about Chrysler suing GM for patent infringement or some kind of infringement of IP. You really never hear about that, do you?
No, and, you know, these automobile companies, they have lots and lots of patents.
Right.
And there's no doubt that there's infringement going on, but, again, it's been sort of an understood agreement, a gentleman's agreement, that they wouldn't go after each other.
Exactly. Ken, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always. Let's have a good 2009 together.
I hope you're right, Jim, and good luck to you.
I appreciate it. Ken Krosin, ladies and gentlemen, K-R-O-S-I-N, if you're Googling him. He's with Foley and Lardner, and his website is foley.com. And he'll be back. I will be, too, right after these messages. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.